Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again for your word, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that you would change us, that you would open our eyes and help us to see, Lord, help us to see the way you want us to be. Help us to see the way, Lord, that we can act or respond, or the way that we can love, the way we can forgive. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just see the way that we can be more like Jesus. And not only see it, Lord, but that you would equip us to act, to change, to make a difference. And I just pray that your will would be done in our lives. I pray, God, that we would glorify you, and that your Spirit would just abound within us and move through us and affect those around us. And I just thank you, Lord, that it's all about you, and it's about what you've done for us and how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today I'm going to finish my John chapter 8 series. And we've looked at this passage before, and I think Ken taught on it, the woman caught in adultery, in the beginning. And I'm going to take a little bit different angle look at it today. So if you want, open your Bibles. Even if you don't want, open your Bibles to John chapter 8. And we're going to begin in verse 1. And we're going to read this story again. And as you turn there, you remember that Jesus is in Jerusalem. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles. He's there and he's confronting the religious rulers and leaders. He's speaking truth and they don't like it at all. In fact, right here, they want to kill him because he performs this miracle on the Sabbath. Do you remember what it was? He healed someone right on the Sabbath, and they thought that was a bad thing. He was breaking the Sabbath. And so they're trying to trap him. And then last week, I shared with you where Jesus calls himself the Great I Am. And we saw the significance of that, so much so that the Pharisees, the religious rulers, they picked up stones to kill him. They you know, accused him of blasphemy, of claiming to be God, and so now they want to stone him. They want to kill him. And this got me thinking a little bit about this issue of throwing rocks. And I titled the message today, Laying Down Your Stones. And I think, did everybody get a little stone when you came in? You should have. I think we had Nate was out there being just he's such a good little delivery man of things. So he was my helper. But so their fear, the religious leaders' fear of Jesus, it causes them to become paranoid at this point. They're not even thinking clearly, and as we see, it just drives them to this point of insanity of what they're doing and what they're saying. They can't even think rationally, and Let's pick it up in John chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all of the people were coming to him. And he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. What then do you say? And they were saying this, testing him, in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And when he was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more. So here, you know, again, we've talked about this poor woman before. But we're going to look at it from a little bit of a different angle. So this morning, again, you should have gotten a stone. And I thought about for a second when I was putting stones together of really bringing rocks. Like, you know, you're not going to kill somebody by taking one of these and, you know, throwing these at them. When the religious leaders, when they would do this and stone somebody, we're talking rocks, okay, big rocks. But, you know, we all couldn't have a huge rock. And so this is just, you know, this is what you get. But stones can be actually useful. Stones, rocks, I mean, they can be useful. And some rocks are quite valuable, actually. You know, we pay thousands of dollars for some rocks. You can build things with rocks. You can use stones to cover things up. My boss was boasting about his yard, and when he had this big house built, he lives up on South Mountain, and when they were digging up his foundation, they just kept digging up these massive boulders, and so he didn't know what to do with all of this. And instead of paying somebody to haul them all away, he paid somebody to arrange them, and his yard is quite beautiful, but it's all this, you know, big boulders and all kinds of stuff. But you know, you can decorate with them, you can do lots of things with rocks. But I want you to take out your rock, and I want you to just take a look at it. Okay, you guys get a rock? Okay, take a look at your rock. If you don't have one, I'll throw one at you. Just kidding, Carmen, because you could huck it back and I'd get hurt. But you know what? I want you to look at your rock, okay? They're hard, you know, depending upon the size, they can be heavy. They're coarse, or maybe you have one that's completely smooth or has smooth parts on it. But have you ever wanted to just throw your rock? You ever just wanted to chuck it? Okay, I mean, I'm a guy, right? And growing up, I was a boy, and we'd always throw rocks. And when I was thinking about this message, I do remember one time we made my father very, very angry quite often. And we used to have a house that had these very strange shingles that were like rock. They were these flat rock-type things. And we would go up on the side of the house, and we would slam our foot down and break them. And then we would stay up there, and we lived right across the street from a giant field. And when people would come walking through the field, we would take those things and we would just huck them at the people out in the field. And so we would throw them. And I remember one time my sister, and she'll confirm this, you know, when she comes to visit sometime, she threw something at me. And so I got one of these pieces, and I became quite adept at throwing these. And the hard part about this is that these shingles, when you would break them, they were flat and they were sharp pointed and they would fly. If you could get, you know, like, you know when you get a flat rock at a lake and you skip it and it just choo, 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 choo. Well, these little things would fly. So I remember my sister hurt me. And so I grabbed one of these and she started running across the field, and it was almost like a cartoon. I'm not joking. She was running and running and running, and I watched and I just took it. And I threw it, and I watched as she ran and ran and ran and ran, and that thing just pegged her, and she hit the ground. And I was like, yes! You know, and she is hurting because it really hurt. And then I really got in trouble. But I just had this desire to throw rocks, and we would always skip them. We would throw them at each other. We would throw them at people walking through the field. And you know, can you ever think of a time when it was, maybe think of a biblical story of when it was okay to throw a rock? David and Goliath, do you remember? I mean, that was a pretty good time, right? David kills a giant with a stone, okay? You know, three stones, right? But still, he took down a giant. But I wanted to look at a few reasons of why do we want to throw stones, okay? There's three things I want to look at when it comes to stones, and the first is the reasons. Why do we want to throw stones? Why do we have this desire? And first of all, you know, this is an analogy of casting a stone. There's nothing wrong with calling sin, sin. And right now, in our culture, in our society, and lots of things, there's a lot of finger-pointing, there's a lot of, you know, we have the gay marriage agenda and what the LDS Church is doing, and there's lots of stuff going around where people are pointing fingers. And there really isn't anything wrong with calling sin, sin. right? Calling it out. God hates sin, and he makes it clear that, you know, sin can't be in his presence. And as believers, you know, we're called to hate sin and to stand against sinful behavior. More importantly, we need to remember that God hates sin, but what? What's the more important part of that little phrase? God hates sin, but loves the sinner, okay? Jesus died to redeem lost people, to buy them back from the punishment of sin. And so more importantly than our call to hate sin is our call to love the sinner. That is the more important thing we need to focus on, and I think we forget about this a lot. We look at people, we size them up, we pass judgment, and we throw stones. And we need to be really careful. The sad truth is that I think we're more willing to point out the faults and failures of others without realizing or recognizing that we are full of the same thing. You know, there is that saying that you normally see in others the things you do not like in yourself. And so when we're casting stones, we have to remember, you know, what's going on. And if you read Luke 6:41 and 42, it says, this is such a profound passage. Luke 6:41 says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's." I love the analogy of, I mean, how ridiculous would that look for me to come up to Glenn with a huge plank sticking out of my eye and go, "Dude, what is that little speck in your eye, man?" You know, it would just be ridiculous. But yet we're told, we do this. Why do we do this? So we see in the passage, the Pharisees, they take this woman out before Jesus, and we know, and we've been taught before, that she's just a pawn. They don't really care about her, and they don't really care about this situation. All they care about is just trying to trap Jesus. And we know this because who else should have been there with that woman? The man, right? Where was the man? And how did these religious rulers catch them in the act of adultery? You know, I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. Where was the man? How did they catch her? And so they're both guilty. The religious leaders, they're not even thinking clearly at this point. They just have it out for Jesus. So the throne stone, or the stone throwing here began when the Pharisees discarded being just. They didn't care about being just. They really didn't care about this situation. They just wanted to trap him. And clearly they had no interest in justice. And the stone throwing really began before anyone even picked up a rock. And so the motives are not to promote the things of God, the religious leaders. They had their own agenda, their own interests, and they just wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted him out of there. And we can be very quick to call these guys out. You know, I look and just think, what idiots, what, you know, jerks, what, you know, they're hypocrites. You know, I want to start all this name-calling with these religious rulers, and I want to just, you know, and yet, am I any different? Really, am I any different? Haven't we all, at one point or another, pushed to get our own way? Haven't we all had times when we got upset over things that were really insignificant? Haven't we all done things, or we desired our will instead of what God's will was? The truth of the matter is that we're all guilty of sin, and we point the finger at others, and we're all guilty of throwing stones. So if we're honest, we can really see the reason for casting stones. It's sin. It's our flesh. It's, I want my way. And when I don't get my way, or if you don't live up to my expectation or my standards, then I want to put you down. And especially if you come at me with something, oh, wait, I immediately want to grab my bag of rocks and start throwing, I got to deflect. I got to get the spotlight off of me. And so why we cast stones is pretty apparent. We all have sin. The second thing that I want to look at with this issue is the reality of throwing stones. I mean, why are these religious leaders so intent on destroying Jesus? Well, you know, they have an issue with an unforgiving heart, okay? They have an issue of the pride and the arrogance that they're dealing with. But they have a serious issue with Jesus challenging what they're doing. Jesus is showing them that really, I mean, it's basically just when Jesus came and started teaching, he's putting up a mirror, and they're having to look at themselves. His teaching was so contrary to what the Pharisees were teaching, what the religious leaders were teaching, and they knew if they didn't get rid of him, you know, they could lose control. They were very controlling over the people. Jesus has upset their way of life. He's challenged their preconceived ideas of religion. He's disturbed their power, right, by appealing to the masses that the religious leaders had controlled. Jesus disturbed their position because he's drawing large numbers of people to himself and being followers. He's disturbed their personal ideas, and he's actually exposing that their ideas and their motives were really of Satan. We saw that very clearly when he says, hey, your father is the devil. So these guys are really angered. And if you think about it, we did see a couple of them. I think of Nicodemus, who was changed. He was once part of that, and Jesus changed him, and he became soft. I mean, it's that same thing of this. Something happened. He came encounter with God, and God changed him. And the religious leaders did not like this. Why did these men want to throw stones? I think they wanted to throw stones for the same reason that we do. We throw stones because we harbor hatred. We do it because we hold on to bitterness. We throw stones because we're entangled with anger. We throw stones because we want to have revenge. And I think we do it because we don't let go of things that upset us. It's very easy to just lash out than it is to just forgive. Why do we think that? I mean, seriously, doesn't it take more energy to be angry than it does to just forgive, to just let it go? You know, it does. Why do we make it so much harder? Forgiveness is simple. It's just a matter of letting go and forgiving and moving on. And it's really hard to forgive and then just to leave it and let it go and not pick it back up. If any of you is out without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her, Jesus says. The passage tells us that the grown men left first, and we remember when Ken was teaching, he taught us that. They knew. Jesus pierced their heart. We all make mistakes. We've all sinned. We all have that same need for Jesus. These guys walked away. Now, let me ask you a question. When we're doing this, when I talk about casting stones, we may never actually throw a physical stone at somebody. I mean, that's really rare. I mean, I think we're all grown up, right? We're not going to do that. I'm not going to throw a stone at somebody. Well, maybe. Right? Quickly, there's some things you're thinking in your head, maybe. But how about, could we be guilty, or have we ever thrown an emotional or a spiritual stone at somebody? You know, I think of when I was choosing the rocks to put in this little basket, I purposefully chose some that are jaded and sharp and have edges, and then I also chose some that are very smooth. You know, it might hurt if I were to take this and throw it at Clint as hard as I could, and this point hits him, that's going to hurt. But if I took a smooth stone, it may not hurt quite as much, right? It's smooth. It's subtle. It depends. But I think a lot of times we might throw very subtle rocks. Rocks don't have to just be a blow. They don't have to be something blunt or harsh. They can be just very little light jabs. I mean, how many of you have ever talked to somebody and they've thrown a little jab in you, and you're like, oh, wow. Just a subtle little word, yet it pierces. We can be very guilty of that. Hurtful comments, gossip, judgmental statements, being harsh with the truth. You know, it's easy. I mean, for me, and when I look at this, it's really easy to see where the jagged edges are. These smooth stones, this is the harder one, I think. I can be pretty masterful at my hurtful words. I used to pride myself on my tongue and my wit and the way I could cut somebody down and we could get into these arguments and that's I think more dangerous. Those are the things that are harder to get to get over and to let go. You guys ever been hurt by a smooth stone? You know, a smooth little subtle comment? Yeah, it's hard. Why do we do it? Frustration, maybe. We become frustrated at stuff and it distorts our view. You know, I don't think clearly when I'm really frustrated or I'm really angry or stressed out. You know, I don't think clearly, and sometimes I don't speak clearly as a result. Or how about fatigue? You guys ever get so tired that you just can't think clearly, or you get tired and you become irritable and you become short and you snap? She's pointing out your flaws. You're throwing some subtle stones at her. Yeah. You know, everything always looks worse when you're tired. You know, how about failure? When others fail us, we're quick to judge their actions. When others let us down, we're quick to judge. When we fail others, we're really quick to justify our actions. How about false assumptions? When we get only bits and pieces of the truth, you know, we can create assumptions that are based on really faulty logic. So we got to be careful about that. Or how about the worst one of them all, I think, are feelings. Feelings are so volatile. They're so up and down. And when we're feeling really great and we're happy, everything is good, but then suddenly 5 minutes later, something else happens and we're down in the trench and we feel rotten. And because of this issue of emotions, we then just vomit and it's not good. You know, we've got to be careful with that. When this happens, I think we lose our closeness with God, you know, this intimacy with God. I mean, I know Scripture tells us that God will never leave us or forsake us as children, and I'm so grateful for that because there's been so many times where I think I've turned and I've been like, oh, not right now, just not right now. I'm too angry to deal with this, or oh, I don't want to read the Word because I'm going to feel bad about how I'm feeling right now. You know, we need to be careful. It's easy to see the reasons for casting stones. How about, we've got a good handle on this, I think. So let's look at what did Jesus do? Jesus rejected it. He rejected the opportunity to throw a stone. He could have, right? I mean, the law said, law of Moses said, hey, she should be stoned. And to fulfill the law of Moses, he could have said, all right, guys, let's pick it up, let's grab a rock, and let's do her in. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Verse 10, Jesus, he straightens up and he says, woman, where are they? Where are all these guys that want to stone you and kill you? All these guys who are pointing their fingers, has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. And then he says, then neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Jesus is the only one who has both and the right to condemn her. He could. But what does he do? He chooses to forgive. He chooses to let it go. He doesn't, you know, excuse her sin or condone it. He doesn't, you know, say, oh, it's okay. He says, go and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. So basically he's telling her, look, you know, you're in this situation, this man that you shouldn't be in. Go back and leave that situation. Don't stay in that situation. And he forgives her. He loves her. And we're all called to that same love. John 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin." That is a powerful passage. Love covers a multitude of sin. Have you ever saw that in your own life? Somebody has sinned against you, and you had the opportunity to just love them. I've remembered this passage. Love covers a multitude of sins. Somebody hurt you. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. I just choose to love them. Just cover it. It's okay. You know, this is a sin they've got. I've got so much. I'm so full of sin. I can just love this person and let it go. That is so freeing when you can get to that point in your life, when you can just say, "But I have the right to be angry. I have the right. This injustice." Let me ask you a question. Do you have the right to be angry when someone sins against you? Seriously. What do you think? You don't have the right. We are bond slaves. We are bond servants to the Lord Jesus. Slaves have no right. They only have the rights that their master gives them. Okay? We have no rights as a servant of Christ. We are to kind of submit everything through Jesus and let him be the filter of how we live and how we act. So when somebody hurts you, you know, yes, we have righteous indignation. I might be angry. There are injustices that happen, and we can be angry about that. I was angry last night when I was going and listening to all the stuff that was happening in Paris and these shootings, and I was angry with these people and this Islamic state of, you know, this ISIS stuff and all the stuff that's going on. It makes me angry. Being angry is okay. We're not to sin in our anger. And so when somebody comes and they hurt me, and then I immediately pick up the stone and I want to hurl one back, I have the right! No, I don't. I got to remember, let he who has no sin cast that first stone. Am I perfect? Deal with my perfection. Once I'm perfect, then I can go and start casting stones. Well, I guess I might as well just give that up, because I'm never going to be perfect. Jesus loves her. Love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't condone it. It doesn't say I'm supporting it. It just says, I'm just going to forgive. And imagine how free we could be if we could truly just trust that God, remember when we read the passage that God works all things together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus? If I can live that way, knowing, okay, I've just been sinned against. Maybe God's going to use this for my good somehow. Maybe, right? Yeah, absolutely, he's going to. Sometimes I need to be humbled. Sometimes it takes a harsh word, or sometimes it takes a stone or a 2x4 to the head to get me to realize, oh, I've got an issue I got to deal with. And if I'm so busy at trying to hurl one back, I'm missing the point. God, maybe God's allowing this to help soften me. Maybe God has allowed this trial to come into my life to help maybe loosen up, maybe to help look to Jesus more, maybe to help realize that, man, without Christ, I'm lost. I'm nothing. I can never make this. I'll never make it. Whatever the trial is, Jesus didn't just let her go. He said, go and leave your life of sin. Go and stop willfully disobeying God. Change your attitude. Change your actions. He wouldn't tell us this unless we could truly be free from the bondage of sin. That's what I love. I mean, Jesus didn't just go say, oh, it's okay. Go back and, you know, just. No, he said, don't. Stop it. Go and be changed. We can. And he told her that knowing that she could do it. He tells us the same thing. Forgive. Love covers a multitude of sin. He tells you and I that because you can. Can you do that in your own strength and in your own flesh? No. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness and freedom They flow from the life of Jesus. It's empowered by his sacrifice on the cross, and it's finalized by his resurrection. We have been given the ability to forgive, to move forward, to cover other people's sin, to not take offense. The stone that you're holding in your hand today, what does it represent? Is it a stone of bitterness? Is there bitterness in your heart? Is there unforgiveness in your heart? Is there a stone of hatred or anger or prejudice or revenge? Whatever it is a needless weight that you're carrying around. All it's doing is poisoning you. I'll share a brief story. When I went back to L.A. This summer for work, I was in the car with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law is a very angry man. Very just nothing good to say ever. And there's always something that he's got to get on a soapbox about. And here I had to drive with him from L.A. up to Santa Barbara and back in L.A. traffic. So I knew it was going to be a three-hour-plus drive each way. And I was kind of dreading it, to be honest. And I thought, oh, Lord, I can't spend 6 hours in the car with this guy. I can't. I'll kill him. You know, I'll kill him. Or I'm going to say something that's going to make the family upset because I'm going to create drama. I know it. That was the most amazing drive that I've ever had, and the most amazing conversation in the 26 years I've been in Stacy's family's life. That was the most amazing conversation I've ever had. And what was amazing about it was we're driving, and he was ranting as usual. And I said, hold on a minute. I go, just stop. And I said, why are you so unhappy? Why are you so angry about this, which is really trivial? It really has no bearing in your life. Why are you so mad about this? And you know, he kind of stopped, and I said, you're mad about everything. Why are you so angry? And that opened up the door for him to start explaining some issues from his youth that really shaped him. And I said, you know, I've known you for 26 years, and you have been the most unhappy person I've known because of something that happened 50 years ago. Look at the weight. Look at what this has been doing to you. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it except move forward. So why don't you just let it go? Why don't you forgive? What? You want me to forgive? I have every reason to be angry. I said, you have reason to be angry. Absolutely. Some of these things were terrible. But what good has it done you to carry this weight so long? And then he just melted. Because he realized, you're right. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to let go of this. And then that's when I was able to say, only Jesus can help you. Only Jesus can give us what we need to let go. It's only because when we can realize what he has done for us. When he paid the price on the cross, he took all of our sin, and he paid the price for it. He took everything I've ever done, all those rocks I threw from the roof of my house, all those names, all those, every rotten thing I've ever done, and boy, I could tell you stories. Everything I'm doing today, everything I'm going to do 50 years from now, Lord willing, I live that long. He's taken all of it, and he's paid the price. I have been set free. The weight has been removed that I don't have to carry this burden any longer. When I can realize that, why in the world would I want to hold somebody else to something so small and insignificant that they may have done to me? In the comparison of this, you know, the broad picture, I've got to come to terms with Jesus. that's the only way I can ever move forward or move past where I've been or what's been done to me. And when we are, when we have come to Christ, and these things are thrown back into our face, we can say, you know what, I don't need to be angry about that. Jesus has forgiven me. Jesus has set me free. He has given me the ability and the power through the Holy Spirit that I can love and forgive. Because you know what? That person is just as messed up as I am. And they need Jesus just as much. Or I'll even say it, no, they are way worse than I am. But they still need Jesus. They still need Him. And imagine if they came to that same realization. And sadly, maybe it's a Christian. Maybe it's somebody else who knows Jesus and they've still hurt you. They still need Jesus. I still need Jesus desperately in my life because I still hurt people and I still do things that I shouldn't do. I still need Him. So when we can all be in this humble state of knowing, you know what? It's all about Jesus and I want to be free. And so I need to come to Him. So this morning, I want to pray, and what I want to do is, and it just kind of hit me as I was thinking about the message, and so during worship, I ran out and I prepared some communion, because we haven't, you know, it's been a little while since we've taken it, a few weeks, but I want you to spend a few moments. Could you guys, would it be all right to have you guys come and play some, just some music, or even you could just play your guitar, or whatever you guys want to do. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have the worship team play some music just to give us some time to think. And I want you to think about, what does this represent? The rock that you have, okay? What does this represent? Because we're all guilty of chucking them. So look at the rock, spend a few moments, say, God, what is this? And what I want you to do is we're going to do communion a little differently today. When you know what that is, and some of you might know instantly something, you'll look at this rock and think, oh, her, oh, him, or oh, this. If that's you, immediately the Holy Spirit's saying, deal with that, okay? Pray and ask God, say, forgive me. Forgive me for holding on to this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this anger, whatever. And then what I want you to do is I want you to come up and I want you to just place the rock back in there. I want you to let it go. You're going to give it to God. And in place of that rock, you're going to take the elements because that's where we need to be. We need to be able to come in and pour this out to Christ, drop our stones as we encounter Jesus, just like these Pharisees did. They encountered Him. He pointed out their sin, and the old men dropped it right away and walked away. This morning, I want you to point out that sin, point out that struggle, give it to Him. You know, symbolically come up and put it into the basket and take the elements and bring them back to your seat. And then we'll just close and taking communion together. Sound like a plan? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your forgiveness. I thank You for the plan of salvation. I thank You that Jesus took my sin, took our sin to the cross, that He shed His blood, Your blood, on the cross, to wash away our sin. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for paying the price for my sin. Thank You for forgiving me for all of the stones that I've thrown. For all of the stones I've thrown in my mind and in my heart, Lord. We know what Your word says, that if we've done it in our heart, we've done it in Your eyes. Thank You that You paid that price. Thank You that it wasn't about anything I've done to earn it, but in fact that I would never be able to. That You love us so much that you decided to take our sin upon Yourself. And You took the punishment. I thank You for that gift. I thank You that all we have to do is look to You, to put our faith and our trust and our hope in You and rely upon Your Holy Spirit. I thank You that You did pay that price, but I thank You also for raising from the dead, for sealing it, and for giving us the ability to have new life. I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.